unconventional after-hours radio that you won't hear anywhere else. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Stimulating nightly emissions guaranteed to open your eyes and your mind.
I'm coming around to the way of thinking that there may be other things to this universe of which we know very, very little.
Something extraordinary is happening on your radio. Make sure you don't miss the show that everyone else is talking about.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio.
Overnights with Paul Ross. Contact Talk Radio. Call 0344 499 1000. Text TALK and your message to 87222. Text costs 25p plus your standard network rate. Or you can tweet us at Talk Radio.
Now, long-term listeners, Gould Help, you may know, because I mentioned him several times, that I am blessed with a great, big, beautiful, hairy thing in my life. That's enough about my mother. Let's talk about my dog. I'm joking, of course. I've got a rescue dog, a St. Bernard, beautiful dog. He weighs about 70 kilos, about 11 stone. He's a big old, but he's not overweight. They're big dogs. And he's lovely and soppy and healthy. You know, he's not some kind of pedigree thing. He's that breed. He may have other stuff in him. And I took him out yesterday, walked in the park, and we saw a couple of little pugs. They were lovely. Saw a Labradoodle and saw a French Bulldog. And those seem to be the kind of trendy, not exactly designer dogs, but the kind of manageable town dogs. You know, a big dog, you need a biggish house, you need a biggish car, and you need not to worry, in his case, about a lot of dribble and a lot of hair going everywhere. And I don't, you know. Cherish the dog hair. It's everywhere in my place. It's probably all over me even as I speak to you. But designer dogs do seem to be something that are more and more sought after by people. Terrible instance of designer dogs so-called being stolen in the UK. And also we hear mutterings and rumblings about whether or not it's good for these dogs to be bred in this way. Well, now a woman has crystallised some of these fears in a remarkable book. Her name is Madeleine Bernstein. Her new book is called Designer Dogs, an Exposé Inside the Criminal Underworld of Crossbreeding. And Madeleine is president of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, Los Angeles, SPCALA, well-known speaker and commentator on animal-related issues. And I'm delighted to say she joins us now live. Good morning, Madeleine.
Oh, good morning. It's nighttime here.
Okay, well, good evening, good night to you. Thank you so much for doing this for us. Let me ask you, please, a bit about the book itself. When you were researching it, when you were writing it, what prompted you to go down this path? Because a lot of people think of these dogs and think of them as being very cute and being very attractive and sought after, and yet you've got concerns about the dogs and the kind of criminal industry around them. Where did that start for you?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there were always these pedigree dogs, as you said, you know, and they were kind of the elite designer dog of the past. And so, you know, a lot of us had mutts, and then a lot of people had the, you know, the fancier dogs.
Yeah.
And then about 20 years ago, really starting with the Labradoodle, something bizarre happened, which is that people began to manufacture combinations of pedigrees to create fancy mutts, and they became the rage. And it began to make me crazy as someone who works in the shelter industry and sees, you know, and is aware of millions of dogs all over the country that need homes that are already here. The fact that someone would walk up to me and say, I have a purebred Labradoodle, or I have a purebred Toodle, or a purebred Puggle,
yeah,
it just made me want to pull my hair out, because basically we have buildings full of wonderful rescue mutts. We even have pedigrees, you know, that are available in shelters, and now people are breeding intentionally weird-looking, you know, combination dogs. And in order to do that, you have to breed one of each of the original pedigree to create the mix, and then start breeding the mixes. So you're actually wasting so many more dogs to do this. And of course, again, as someone who peddles in the business of mutts, this was just crazy. This was just crazy. They cost more very often than both pedigrees put together, and they're mutts. They're just mutts.
I know in this country, some of these dogs will fetch, well, £800 to £1,000, probably $1,200, $1,400.
Mm-hmm.
Are they similarly expensive, Madeleine, in the States? Is there a kind of roaring trade in these dogs?
Yes, it is. They're very expensive. And if you actually go to a reputable or reliable breeder, they can be that much. But what we're also seeing are the backyard breeders and the mills that basically will try to give you what they call a bargain. In the back of a pickup truck, they'll say, I've got a, you know, cockapoo, normally $3,000 on you know, on the internet, but I'll give it to you for $800 in cash. Here's my phone number. If you have any problems, call me. And, of course, the dog is extremely sick, usually doesn't survive 48 hours. The phone was a burn, what we call in America a burn phone, which is a non-traceable, you know, disposable phone. And basically, you're standing there with a dead dog that you thought you got a bargain for. So the industry realizes that people are willing to spend the kind of money that they will spend in the UK and America, and they decided this is a really good business to get into. And so it's now become a world trafficking issue where dogs from Ukraine and Hungary are coming into the UK and then coming into America. And it's almost like the drug trade. You have the instant Instagram-worthy kick. People get tired of them after a short high, abandon them, and then they make more.
And the terrifying thing for me is, as a dog lover, dog owner, is the conditions under which some of these dogs are bred. I mean, I've heard horror stories about puppy farms, mainly in Eastern Europe, not entirely, where, for example, female dogs in season are strapped down to like a vaulting horse, so they're mounted continuously until they're pregnant, until they're taking. And of course, that will happen repeatedly in that dog's life because the dog is a throwaway commodity. The dog isn't a loved and cherished family member. That dog is a breeding machine, and it's breeding dollars and pounds sterling.
Correct. And what's worse is that the reason that that business and that business model is successful and still continues to thrive in all of our countries is because the less you invest in these dogs, in their care, in their husbandry, in their nutrition, or even taking the trouble to give the mother dog a rest and, you know, breed different dogs, then the less you spend making the dog and you're selling the dog for a high price, so your margin is gigantic. It's an extremely profitable business. Very often it's a cash business, which translates into not paying taxes, you know, because a lot of it's all under the radar.
Yeah.
So it's lucrative.
And let me ask you about your book, because as well as being an expose, it's also, and what I love about the book is, it's also something that gives us positives, things we can do and change. I know we have slightly different legal systems, but what would you say to people listening in the UK who are considering getting one of these, whatever you call them, handbag dogs, teacup dogs, designer dogs? What should they think about Madeline?
I would say don't. Would be the first thing.
That's right. That's the starting point. Yeah.
Right. I would say don't. And then I would say, if you thought about how these dogs were produced, how your handbag dog may have traveled in a crate with other dogs as infants, sick and uncomfortable, to get to the UK or to get to the States, so that you can have a handbag dog and you claim to be a dog lover, would you still want that dog? And I would submit to you that most people, once they know how this is done, once they realize the suffering it's caused, and who are genuinely dog lovers and who genuinely want to help improve the system, would decline. And that's what I'm going for. I'm saying, look, this sounds terrible, but we can fix it. We have a lot of power, each and every one of us, to simply ignore these puppy farm dealers, ignore the puppy mill dealers, and reduce the demand. And once we reduce the demand, you know, the supply will start to dry up. And we have millions of dogs that are already here, that are already available, that will love you. Your hairy rescue, my hairy rescue, they'll love us. They're healthy, they're wonderful. And there's no need to perpetuate this type of business. Not if you really love dogs.
Now, I mentioned you're president of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, the Los Angeles Society. What are the other issues facing animals in the USA at the moment? I mean, are people, you know, is this an organized crime issue, would you say?
Well, you know, that element of it in America, I don't know if you have as much dog fighting. I know pit bulls actually are outlawed, I think, in England or the UK on the dangerous dog.
American pit bulls are, I think, under the Dangerous Dogs Act. And also things like the Argentinian Mastiff, those kind of dogs are outlawed.
Right. So here, you know, in America, there's still a tremendous amount of pit bull fighting and blood sports. There's a lot of money involved. So that's one of the issues that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the illegal imports of some of these designer dogs coming from all over the world, coming through the borders. We're dealing with a disposable mentality, which I think is the most damaging thing, which is that there are so many so many dogs that are available, and it's so easy to point and click and get anything you want. It doesn't have to be a dog. I mean, if you run out of toothpaste, you can just sit in your armchair and click, and Amazon will send you toothpaste later that day. And so what we have is a very, very disposable, instant gratification society. And so we're seeing this in terms of the rate that animals get abandoned. We see this with the the rate that animals are purchased that are not really wanted. We see the Hollywood factor in Los Angeles, where people are watching celebrities and films that feature a really cute dog, and then suddenly everybody has to have one, and nobody knows how to say no to their children. And when 101 Dalmatians was made, we were completely flooded with Dalmatians. And you can just go back through history.
Yeah.
Snoopy, and so we're trying to combat mostly what I call intentional cruelty as well as casual cruelty. Intentional cruelty, you're dealing with criminals. Casual cruelty, you're being desensitized to things that you see that are wrong all the time, and they become normalized, and then you don't act on them. And that's the biggest issue for me in trying to get people to realize that. This has to change. And then the other thing we're dealing with is a lot of actual criminals that commit crimes against other people very often start with animal cruelty and are desensitized in some way in the animal industry, or not necessarily the industry, but they desensitize with animals so that they begin to lose their empathy. And when they begin to lose their empathy, then they're able to commit crimes against people and more egregious crimes against animals. So I basically think that if you boil it all down and you learn how to be kind to animals and you intentionally and are mindful of trying to stop suffering, we can cure violence. I mean, it can be a better world.
It's a fantastic, inspirational note to end on. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Evening, your time, of course. Madeline Bernstein there from the SCPLA, the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, Los Angeles branch. They've been running for 141 years. And Madeline's book's called Designer Dogs, an Exposé Inside the Criminal Underworld of Crossbreeding. It's Talk Radio. Coming up, what's the weather going to be like for this week here in the UK? If you are a dog walker, or even if you're a walker out and about, we're crossing live to the Met Office. And after that, if today's your birthday, treats in store in the next hour. But for yesterday, what a treat. Bit of Johnny Mathis, bit of Frankie Lyman, even a bit of Fifth Dimension on Talk Radio. You lucky people.